Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your lives. You can be watching, you can be listening, emailing, tweeting, dial us up, all the above. Watch on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Also, 362 radio affiliates around the country. Proud to be representing you during this time period. I just got an interesting email. This is Bob in Tampa, who just sent a really interesting email. If Roger Goodell wants to improve his status with fans, he should start the draft by... Anybody want to take a guess on what he should do to start the draft? Because I think this is brilliant. Let me start with brilliance. McLovin, what do you think the commissioner should do?
Like, are you getting on, like, booing himself or something like that?
No. Close. Seton O'Connor Jr. the third.
Oh, man. What should he do to start the draft that would be brilliant? Say when the season's going to start?
That'd be good. That would be good, but I don't think that will happen. Paulie?
I think this guy wrote this down. I think he thinks Roger Goodell should be wearing a mask when he starts the draft.
A mask
for safety, for protection.
Not like a gas mask.
Oh, like he's been taking bong rips.
Like a shout out to the healthcare workers of some sort.
Okay, no, but I like that. If the commissioner wants to improve his status with fans, he should start the draft by having his own family boo him, so he can respond by saying, "Really, my own family?" Because isn't there a booing portion of the draft? Didn't the commissioner say that you can boo him? Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, there's some Bud Light sponsorship.
Oh, okay.
Like every time you boo him online. But now you just ruined it. Because if he does it now, then it's...
Well, he's not gonna take my advice. Or Bob's and Tampa's advice. I mean, he might take Bob's, but not mine. If I said, you know, you could add a little levity here. You start by welcome to the 2020 virtual NFL draft. And then he's got twin daughters. And then they go like, boo! And then he goes, really? My own family? And then we start the draft. All righty. Never mind.
No, I like it. What does Tom in Ohio think?
Tom in Ohio is our insider, and I can't go to him too often. I went to him one time for a bombshell. Actually, he came to me with the trade possibility here. By the way, if you're the Redskins, now I'm breaking down Tom in Ohio's trade proposal. If you're the Redskins, you don't want Odell Beckham Jr. You can get Chase Young. Chase Young is a local guy. Seems like he knows what's in store, got his head straight, got his family there with him, and I would take him. Now, granted, Washington makes some mistakes, a lot of mistakes, but, you know, if you're Cleveland and you could get Chase Young, I know I'm breaking down a trade, but that is probably really far-fetched. All right, I'm a little desperate for content. Maybe that's what it is. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Daniel Jeremiah, great contributor to this program and the NFL Network. He's a former scout for the Ravens, Browns, and Eagles. And you can see him tonight covering the draft, ESPN, NFL Network, and ABC. That starts tonight at 8 Eastern. What is the craziest draft rumor you have heard so far, Daniel?
Well, I'd heard this about a week ago. It actually ended up being true because Glazer came out and reported it, but was that Atlanta was trying like crazy to get up to number two to get Chase Young, which would have been so far to travel. I just couldn't conceive like what you would have to give up to go all the way up there. You're talking about several first round picks and would have been a heck of a move there. Obviously, I didn't think it'd make any sense for the Redskins to go back to 16, but that one was, I admired Dimitroff. Hey, why not swing for the fences? Can't say no if you don't ask.
Well, I keep asking, why isn't anybody trying to go after that? You know, and maybe that second pick overall is so valuable and it's going to cost you so much draft capital that it's not worth going up. But if I said to you, I can guarantee Chase Young is a Pro Bowl defensive lineman, edge rusher for 10 years, or I will guarantee Burrow will be a Pro Bowl quarterback three of those 10 years, who are you taking?
That's a tough one, Dan. I would actually still take the defensive end.
Oh, I would too. I mean,
10 years of elite production at the second most important position on the field.
Yeah. But it feels like we're willing to roll the dice on Tua with every. If I had another player at another position who I said he's had surgery on his ankles, he's had a hip surgery, and maybe he broke his hand. But hey, are you willing to invest a top five draft pick? You wouldn't do that with anybody, but a quarterback. Why?
Well, I just think it speaks to what everybody views as the importance of that position and the lottery ticket it is if you can be the team to keep this kid healthy. So, I mean, that to me is all that it is. It just comes down to the position that you play. And when you look at the teams that are historically picking up here, for the most part, they don't have the guy at that position. So a lot of these teams are picking up here multiple years, you know, over a period of time, and they're willing to take that risk just to try and get themselves out of this group.
And I wonder if the draft is now starting at number three with the Lions. Are the Lions going to be able to get somebody who wants to come up there? And if so, what are they looking to get at the number three pick overall? If you can't get Chase Young and can't get Joe Burrow, what are you planning on getting at three that makes it worthwhile?
Well, the good news for the Lions is they could use help in a lot of different areas, Dan. So you get Derek Brown, and Jeffrey Okuda seems to be what the choice comes down to. So I've had them with Okuda, and I think their thinking is, man, they would love to trade back to five or six because they're going to get, you know, both those guys will probably still be there. They'll have their choice plus get a little sugar. So I would think they're highly motivated to get out. The question is, you know, what are the Dolphins or the Chargers going to do about moving up? I've got the sense for a while that I did not think the Chargers were going to move up. They were content to sit and wait and see what to hand their dealt there. They were comfortable with a couple different options. So then it comes down to the Dolphins. And I'd argue, look, if you're the Dolphins and you love one of these quarterbacks, I shouldn't use love. I got to stop doing that with quarterbacks because it confuses everybody this year. If they have a passion about either Tua or Herbert, and you have as much draft capital as they've amassed for this year and next year, I don't know why you wouldn't just guarantee that you get him, even if you think there's a slim chance the Chargers could leapfrog it. Don't you just get to three? It won't cost you that much just to make sure that you get the guy that you really, really like.
Give me the team that's under the most pressure tonight or the entire draft.
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, I think that I would say the Dolphins. I mean, when you have three first-round picks, and this is a rumor that I don't get. Maybe you can explain this one to me. So the Dolphins trade an all-pro offensive tackle, and then they trade who's going to be an all-pro or who already is an all-pro free safety. So they trade these really talented position players so that they can get all these draft picks. So they can trade these draft picks to go up and get another offensive tackle they hope is going to be close to as good as the guy that they traded away. That makes absolutely no sense to me.
Well, it feels like these offensive tackles, there's going to be a run on offensive tackles. There's going to be a run on wide receivers. I don't think there'll be necessarily a run on quarterbacks because it'll be Burrow for sure, and then maybe it's either Tua or Herbert and Jordan Love a little bit later on. But it feels like there's going to be some pockets in this draft that are going to be a little slow, not too exciting there. And you're right. I don't understand the Dolphins' philosophy and what they want to do. But Tunsil was going to cost you an awful lot of money, and they didn't want to keep him. But as far as you want to trade up to get an offensive tackle instead of just – there's enough offensive tackles that could fall into your lap that you don't waste any of these other draft picks here. That's the only thing. Is there a big separation between these offensive tackles?
I think there's three that I really, really like. Andrew Thomas, some teams are a little bit higher on him than I am, but he's going to be a starting tackle. Now, I went to Appalachian State, Dan, so I'm not great at math. But if you have the fifth pick, and we know Joe Burrow's going number one, and we agree there are four really good offensive tackles in this draft, why are you trading up to get one?
And unless you say he's the next Anthony Munoz, then and we've seen, you know, we were talking about this, Daniel. There have been a lot of offensive tackles taken who have been bust recently and taken high because I think it's hard to handicap how an offensive tackle in college is going to be able to play the position, which you're playing a different position really in the way NFL blocking and the way college is. It's hard to go, that guy is going to be great in the NFL. Now, we've had some guys really good. It's hard to find great offensive linemen, or at least that you go, I'm going to spend a high draft pick on these guys. You could have an Eric Fisher here. You could get, McClinchy.
Greg Robinson too.
Greg Robinson was really good. It feels like you can get a guard or a center and feel more confident than you can a tackle. Why is that?
Well, I think when you look at the way the college games played with so many tunnel screens and bubble screens and spread you out, get the ball out, it kind of eliminates these guys having to really, really pass protect for an extended period of time, which is what you're asked to do at the NFL level. Now, two things I would say. Number one is the NFL is starting to incorporate more concepts like that to make that a little bit easier for these kids. And the other thing I would say is I think we're quick to give up on a lot of these guys. Like DJ Humphries is a great example. He's not a great player, Dan, but the Falcons just re-signed him and gave him a decent chunk of money because the DJ Humphries they saw in year three and year four was much better than the one they saw early on. I think there's just there's a big adjustment period for most of these guys at tackle. Then when you're talking about interior guys, they get to play with neighbors, as a tackle. You only get one neighbor. You get two neighbors when you play inside.
Talking to Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network analyst here. If I told you could find out what one team is going to do tonight, which team would that be that you wanted to know?
Oh, it would be the Chargers. Because I work for them, and B, all my family and friends that grew up as fans of this team keep saying, you work for the team, who are they taking? I'm like, I don't know. I talked to Telesco three times a week. He didn't tell me anything. I don't know who they're taking.
Who do you want them to take?
Well, to me, I just look at them and I know we've talked about the risk with Tua, but going into this kind of new era, new building, I just think his personality, putting him in with this group, it would be a big shot in the arm to everybody. And then they've got to go about trying to get the offensive line fixed to protect him. But I think Tua with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry and Austin Eckler, he's a point guard. He's a distributor, and they have a nice collection of guys he could distribute the ball to.
I have doubts on Tua, not just the medical doubts. I mean, that alone, I wouldn't take him, but I understand if the Dolphins do it and they want to splash, if the Chargers do and they want to splash. Like, I get it. I really like the kid, but Chris Sims was – killing Tua last night. I mean, he said, look, I like the kid. I'm just telling you, he's not a top 10 talent. We've been force-fed Tua. If Justin Herbert played at Alabama, would we look at Justin Herbert differently? What if Tua was at Utah State and Jordan Love was at Alabama? Like, is, we look at you in the system with the coach, with the results, you're playing in big games, national title games, like all of those things. But are we overinflating somebody without really knowing that we're doing that?
Well, I mean, I could take everything that you just said, and I could go back to the year Deshaun Watson came out, and I could put it in the exact same spot. You know, everybody said the same thing about him. He's playing. Look at all these NFL wide receivers he's playing with. You know, he's in all these primetime games on big stages. There's a lot of guys. You can't penalize them for who they played with. I can just tell you the difference to me between Herbert and Tua is I think that Tua plays with much more urgency. He's much more decisive. He's much more aggressive. Now, and that's not something that changes whether you put on a different helmet or not. So that to me would be the difference between those two guys. Now, Justin Herbert's bigger, stronger, more athletic. I get all of that. He did not play with nearly the talent that Tua did. I told somebody the other day, I think Tua played with the best receiving core we've seen in college football since the Hurricanes in the early 2000s when they had Andre Johnson and Reggie Wayne and all those guys. I mean, it was unbelievable. But that doesn't change the fact that when I watch him, I see somebody that's very twitched up, very urgent, and plays aggressive, which are things I like.
Yeah, but he plays too aggressive, and he needs to understand to take a loss, throw it away. You know, Robert Griffin got into trouble in the pros. You try to take on these guys, extend a play, and that Nick Saban was on yesterday, and he talked about Tua's always trying to make the play, make the big play. That you can't do that in the pros because he's not fast.
I agree with that.
He's not fast.
I agree with that. And somebody, I was actually talking to Pollock about this last night on the phone, and we were talking about his inability to protect himself, and I said, you know what? He's not nearly the athlete that, you know, Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson are, but he needs to watch a lot of their tape just to see how they protect themselves.
That's great.
And giving up 3 or 5 yards is not a big deal in the grand scheme of things here, man. Get down, protect yourself. There's ways even when you throw the football and you're getting heat to be able to fall away from the hit. I mean, people used to make fun of Eli Manning, but last I checked, Eli Manning played a lot of games without missing any for the way he threw the ball when he got under pressure.
It's like when people talk about pitching and throwing, I said, if you want to learn to pitch, watch Greg Maddux. You want to learn to throw? Yeah. There's a lot of guys who can throw. You want to learn to play the quarterbacking position? I'd have him watch Russell Wilson because I think he's more like Russell Wilson than he is Drew Brees. I mean, Russ extends a play. You know, I mean, Drew Brees is a pocket quarterback. He doesn't get out of the pocket. He doesn't extend. You know, if you're watching Tua, he's extending. He runs. He needs to watch Russell Wilson and understand how to protect yourself because that would be the guy I'd say, watch him, and you're similar size, and you can see the success that he's had.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. That's kind of the way I feel. It's just you've got to figure out a way to keep yourself on the field. I think when he stays on the field, I think he's pretty darn good. But that doesn't matter if you can't get out there. So
yeah.
That's the concern. I mean, you're holding your breath when you take him, and you're hoping that you get that kid on the field. But there's risk. No doubt about it. I don't disagree with that.
Daniel goes back to the fear of taking him and the fear of not taking him. And when's the last time that we had a draft pick where we said that at that position, the fear of taking him and the fear of not taking him, what's greater?
Well, I mean, that's I would say Johnny Manziel was that question, right? This is a totally different kid, and the makeup's totally different. But it was the way Manziel played stylistically was something we hadn't really seen, and it was a question of whether or not that would, that would translate. But I think that one was there's teams that were like, man, I don't know, I don't think I can take him, but man, I hope he doesn't go in our division because they thought he had a chance to be really good.
Yeah.
But it's similar but yet different.
Yeah, I thought Johnny would be, if Jacksonville took him, that he would be a boost for that franchise, that it gave them personality. I didn't realize what his personality truly was and that he just wasn't committed to playing the sport. But
yeah.
Tua, I do love. I get nervous about that. You know, he's not a big kid. I mean, Herbert, if you said, you know, he's got injuries, well, he's still a 6'6 kid. And he runs well. He's a better athlete than Tua is. He might not be a better quarterback. Jordan Love might be a better athlete. But there's a mystery with him. We love the mysteries, though, when you think about it, Daniel. It's like Jordan Love is intriguing because we don't know much about him.
No doubt. No doubt. And to me, it's almost, you know, we're trying to judge whether or not we have a good marriage without knowing who the partner is. So, you know, when we find out who these
quarterbacks an arranged marriage with, here, Daniel. Yeah, that's what we're doing. True. Yeah, an arranged marriage.
But I mean, it's like it goes back to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Like, you can't find a better marriage than that for him. You know, if Jordan Love ended up with, you know, Sean Payton or, you know, ooh, one of these top offensive minds that had a chance to sit and learn and develop. What if he's with Frank Reich with the Colts and can sit behind Rivers for a year or 2 years? Like, that's unbelievable. He's got a great shot to be successful. You know, he goes to the Miami Dolphins and they start him next year behind that offensive line. It's not going to go well.
Why did most people miss on Mahomes?
Well, I can just talk about my missing on him was because when you watched him, you saw unbelievable talent, but you saw him in an offense which was a bunch of screens and scrambles. That's basically what they were doing at Texas Tech. And then it was so freewheeling and so different from anything he was going to be asked to do at the next level. That was difficult. And then the other thing I would say is I got a chance to visit with him the week of the draft for the first time. He came into our studio at NFL Network. And I asked him about specific plays, like TCU, Patrick, third down, you're down in the red zone, fourth quarter, kind of like what you've heard Sean McVay do when people ask him about specific plays. And he would tell me the play call, the read, what happened on the play, what that led them to do later on in the game. Like, his recall and his intelligence was off the charts. And I think the teams that got a chance to visit with him said, okay, this kid's got all this natural talent. Mm-hmm. I know we need to work on the footwork. I know there's a lot of things to need to happen going forward, but this kid is incredibly bright and he loves football. So when you put that kind of stew together, that was the magic.
But if you could have, you could work him out, physically work somebody out, or you could just interview him. Like, what would be more valuable? You could only pick one. But you could actually work him out, or you could do what you just did by saying, hey, give me the TCU play, the call, you know, everything you saw on the play. Like, what's going to tell you more?
I can watch the tape and figure out the other stuff. To me, it's more valuable to sit down and visit with the kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was what made that kid so unbelievable is we talk about his arm, we talk about his athleticism. That dude is smart, man.
I said this to the Danettes. There'd be Mondays where I'd come in, or there'd be Sundays or Saturdays where I'd be texting them, and I'd just say, turn on Texas Tech. I'd give them the channel, and they knew that I was watching Texas Tech. Because I said, I don't know if he can play in the NFL, but damn, is he fun. And it looked like he was drawing up plays in the dirt and just saying, you go over here and you go over here. Hey, give me about 3 seconds. I'll be able to make something happen here. I didn't know it would translate anywhere near what it is. Deshaun Watson, I thought, was his star. I was shocked that he was falling. Mahomes, I just saw maybe the embryonic stages of somebody who was trying to be Brett Favre. And he may turn out to be better.
Yeah, he is unbelievable. If you could get a mulligan on one draft grade, I would submit my card for that one.
Have fun tonight, and I'll try not to text you too much, okay?
Oh, Dan, I mean, if we have breaks in the Wi-Fi or something goes hairy, I need some text messages. I need some encouragement here.
All right. I'll be your audience. I'll try to puff you up a little bit there. Have fun, though. It's always great to talk to you, Daniel.
I appreciate you, Dan. Thanks.
That's Daniel Jeremiah. He'll be working the draft for the NFL Network. When we come back, I have to have an answer for the following. The Bengals will select and keep. Justin Herbert will be drafted by. Tua will be drafted by. Jordan Love will be drafted by. I'm sure that these will come back to haunt me tomorrow. It's 23 after the hour. Phone calls coming up as well here on the Dan Patrick Show. You're checking things all the time. You check out how you look in the mirror. You're checking out your email, your Instagram, text messages. Discover says, do something important. Check your credit. And you can do it. And best of all, it's free. Discover's now offering FICO credit scores. That's the score used by 90% of top lenders, and you can do that for free, even if you're not a customer. Checking out your score won't hurt your credit. You can check each month for changes. The Discover Credit Scorecard, free for everyone. Learn more at discover.com/creditscorecard. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Sims will join us on the program tomorrow. I'll let him explain why he would not take Tua Tagovailoa. Didn't even think he was a top 10 talent before all the injuries. Jesse Palmer from the Mothership will stop by, and the former USC quarterback, former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez will stop by as well. I saw where Tom Brady thought he was going into the home of his offensive coordinator in Tampa. According to TMZ, and his offensive coordinator is Byron Leftwich, according to TMZ, on April 7th, Brady had planned to visit Byron Leftwich's home, walked into the home next door without knocking. He came face-to-face with the homeowner and realized that he was in the wrong home. you're not Byron Leftwich. No, I'm not. Yes, Paul.
Hey, Tom.
If I were Tom, I would have played off by Jane. Hey, I just want to welcome, introduce myself. I'm the new quarterback. Season tickets are for sale. I'm going door to door, and good luck. Go Bucks.
Oh, man. That's good. Eric in California joins us. Eric, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan. It's Eric calling from Redding, California. First time, long time. 5'11 and shrinking. Pillsbury 215. So I did need to weigh in on the actually I'm providing an exclusive scoop that should have gone to my friend Rich Eisen. Unfortunately Rich was unavailable. However, with the Tom Brady, Peyton Manning Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, the winner of that match, and I hope you guys are ready for this, is going to have to take on Tony Romo and Natalie Gibbs.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Is it Natalie Gulbis or Natalie Gibbs? Because I'm not familiar with Natalie Gibbs. Can you check that for me?
Excuse me.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Cynthia Gibbs, on the other hand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Youngblood.
Yeah.
Yeah, Youngblood. All-timer.
All right, here we go.
Never forget.
The Bengals will select and keep Joe Burrow. I don't have any doubts. Bengals will take him, and they will keep him. Justin Herbert will be drafted by the Chargers. Tua Tagovailoa will be drafted by the Dolphins. Jordan Love will be drafted by the Carolina Panthers.
Ooh, saucy.
Not first round pick. Anybody else? McLevin, what do you think?
I'm lockstep and sync with you. Herbert to the Chargers. Jordan Love to the Bucks at 45 or the Colts at 44.
Ooh, okay.
Tua to the Dolphins at 26 or the Saints at 24. Just because you've talked me out of Tua. How could you have him going so high?
I didn't talk you out of it. Chris Sims talked me out of it, and then I talked you out of it.
Yeah, I think if he falls in that Patriots Saints, I don't think the Patriots will take him, but he could go in the 20s. A lot of like mock drafters are saying now.
Yeah, Seton.
If the injuries are bad.
Yes, Seton.
How about Herbert going before Tua and also to the Dolphins?
Yeah. Well, it feels like it's either or with that, with those two guys. If I said that Tua is going to be in the top six, or you got the rest of the draft, everybody believe that he's going to be a top six pick. Yeah, McLevin.
No, because of the injuries and the fact that he can't go to the buildings to talk to doctors. That's the only. But I've also read, is there a potential for a slide where there's no need after six? People have been saying that, writing that.
Yes, but I go back to what my source said. He thought Tua could go 3 or 23. And you're going to have these teams that are going to pass on him. I mean, you'll pass on him because do you want to use, if you're Carolina, do you want to use your first round pick on Tua when you just brought in Teddy Bridgewater? Jacksonville, like Jacksonville, I get, because you didn't spend anything for Gardner Minshew. And if you can have Gardner Minshew play and then have Tua come in and compete for the job, give him a year to sit out, I understand that. The Raiders, does he fit their system? You already have two quarterbacks. Probably not. You know, the Saints have Taysom Hill, quarterback in waiting. Would they then take, you know, Tua if he was there? Would the Patriots take? I don't know. I think there's a very real chance that he starts to slip if he doesn't go to the Chargers. Yeah, McLevin.
Why did you say Jordan Love second round?
Well, no, I don't know when he's going to be taken. But I wouldn't use that first round draft pick on him. I just think if they could get Jalen Hurts, I would take Jalen Hurts. If I'm a team and I'm gonna and I can get him a second or third round, Jalen Hurts to me is fascinating. He really, really intrigues me. Out of all the quarterbacks, just the mystery surrounding him. Because I like him. I think how he handled Alabama was classy. Went to Oklahoma, played extremely well. And that would be somebody I'd look at and go, let me take a chance on him as a third round pick, second round pick, maybe. Yeah, Todd.
Jordan Love going to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, just because you got Taysom Hill there, and he's—I know he's 30, but I just don't know if that would. And maybe you have three guys on the roster. I don't know at that position because Taysom Hill is sort of that Swiss Army knife there. But I don't know. I don't see it that way. Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, I can't. Taysom Hill's 30 already.
I think he is 30. Yeah.
Yeah, but what about Jordan Love there too has been talked about and also if Tua, how about Tua there if they trade up a little bit as a project?
Yeah, I mean I don't know. We could have speculation about the entire first round and it's kind of silly. Yeah, Paulie.
I'll go Burrow to the Bengals, Herbert to the Chargers. Tua I think is going to go to Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville will trade up a couple spots and get him. Jordan Love, Vegas with their second pick of the first round will take Jordan Love.
Mm.
Saucy.
Okay. Well, they just brought in Mariota and you got Carr, although I think those are Band-Aid quarterbacks right now, it feels like, with John Gruden. So I'm not quite sure. Not quite sure with what John Gruden would do. Reggie in Mississippi joins us. Hey, Reg, what do you have for me?
Morning, Dan.
Morning.
Listen, I just wanted to get this to your attention. Your name was brought up last night in an episode of Brockmire, where he was Hank Azaria was Brockmire was looking for somebody to introduce him at the Baseball Hall of Fame. It was a pretty hilarious episode last night, so I thought I'd call in. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you, Reg. Did you know this, Paulie?
I heard this. It's tough to quote. He said, "Screw Dan Patrick. He once defecated in the van I owned." He didn't use the word defecate. So you're a reference on Brockmire in a funny way.
Maybe he's talking about the lieutenant governor of Texas and not me.
He was talking about you.
Oh, he was.
But you didn't do that.
No, I did not.
Okay. Then don't worry about it.
No. No. In Hank Azaria's van, but not Brockmire's. I'm Brockmire. Jonathan in Arizona joining us. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
510-165.
All right.
All right, so I have a foolproof, unequivocal, surefire way for the commissioner to get applause tonight from all NFL fans to announce at the end of the draft his resignation.
That was a little mean-spirited there, Jonathan. Thank you, though. No, I just thought if he comes out and his wife and his two daughters boo him, it might then you take it away, you take the weapon away. Like, hey, I get it. You're going to boo me, and that's what they always do. They boo the commissioner. It'd be funny. I don't know if the commissioner is, trying to provide levity. They're already providing us an outlet for us to watch. We get 4 hours where we can escape watching TV. I don't know if he has to be a stand-up comedian. All right. So we got the guest list for tomorrow. We'll come back. Last call for phone calls. What we learned on the program. And anything. Oh, this day in sports history. Have all of that coming up for you here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR. Or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals.
Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Jeff in New Hampshire sent an email. Instead of his own family booing him, the commissioner could start with a Kevin from the Office chili opening, make some people laugh. Oh, is that still one of my favorite episodes of The Office, where Kevin with his famous chili, and he's got this huge pot, and he brings it into the office, and he spills it. He starts to try to clean it up. Oh, it's so funny. Oh, boy. Finally, Major League Baseball got around to spanking the 2018 Red Sox. They suspended a replay system official for a year, and then they docked them a second-round pick for using video to steal signs. Now, keep in mind, they already suspended their former manager, Alex Cora, for a year, but they say that's because of his role with the Astros. And baseball has a funny history with punishment. You know, when you think about steroids, the more testing and investigations they did, the more guys they caught, the effort to clean up the sport actually made it look even dirtier in the short term. These commissioners don't want to find the guys who are guilty. They would hope that they don't find somebody. But for baseball, it was worth it with steroids. I wonder if the same thing will hold true with the sign stealing. We know about the Astros, or at least we know a lot about the Astros. And now the Red Sox, you get the feeling Major League Baseball, if they really wanted to dig, you might find some other players, parties who were guilty, and other teams as well. Oh, I'm going to guess you would find other teams that have done this before. Hopefully the penalties, the embarrassment are enough to deter a team from stop using video to steal signs. We'll see. They'll find new ways to cheat. This is just a temporary blip there, it feels like. But when you're going to suspend one guy, all of this with the Red Sox. Now, we were waiting. Did they cheat or not? So it's one guy and it's the video guy? And who benefited from sealing said signs here? I mean, that's what I'm curious about. Did he steal the sign just for himself? Like, did he relay this to somebody? Who benefited from this? Where's the garbage cans in here? I'm confused. Feels like all of that, because we were waiting. We're like, oh, boy, they're going to drop the hammer on the Red Sox, too. All right. I don't know if people are upset about this anymore. And we kept waiting. Oh, my gosh. This when the Red Sox get it, and who else is going to be brought down? And you got a video operator who was brought down. Crazy. A couple of phone calls. Till in Ohio. Hey, Till.
Oh, well, I didn't move to Ohio, but we could throw me back in Bloomington.
I was going to say, you moved. A strange time for you to move, Till. So, in Bloomington.
You know, being an essential employee and all, you know, still out and about selling beer, maybe I should just sell some in Ohio as well. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I think the confusion came because I wanted to call in your boy, Tom, the prognosticator in Ohio.
Yeah.
I just want to throw out, Tom, if you get this right, I'm willing to send you some beer via me. So, Dan, if he gets it right, if he can give you his address, or okay. Tom, if you look me up on the Twitter, send me a message with your address. I will hook him up if he gets this right, man. That would be an amazing accomplishment.
Are you selling more beer now?
The liquor stores and grocery stores are killing it. Obviously, restaurants and bars aren't because they're closed, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's keeping me on my toes. I will not lie. There's a lot going on right now, and you know, I'll be interested to see what the liver transplant list is like in about a year from now with some people out there.
Thank you, Chili, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. If that happens, that Tom in Ohio pulls off one of the great pre-draft trade proposals in history. Yes, McLovin.
Seton's point is great. Tom almost whispered it to you because he doesn't want to get caught with this inside information.
Feels like he might have been in the house or the building with the person and was in another room and then giving us this exclusive.
Like he called the whistleblower line or something.
Yeah.
He's like,
I
have to get this information out.
Source close to a source.
Consequences be damned.
Yeah. George in Arizona. Hi, George. What do you have for me today?
Good doing, Dan.
Great,
6 foot, 160.
All right.
It's a crazy thought, but with all the injuries and the inability to get and really get into these guys, I think Tua is going to drop, and he will drop to the Patriots.
Well, I don't know if he'll drop that far. They might go up and make a trade with the 49ers. 49ers want to move out of the first round. You know, somebody's going to go up and maybe grab some of these draft picks, these teams that want to get out of the first round. I thought the Niners would be taking a wide receiver. You know, you got that pick from the Colts, and are you going to use it on another wide receiver there? I also had a source who said, you mentioned the possibility of the Kansas City Chiefs trading up to take Henry Ruggs out of Alabama, fastest guy in the draft. And he said, you only have so many go patterns in your offense, in your repertoire. You don't need to take Henry Ruggs. That doesn't make any sense. He's fast, but you need to, if you're going to take a wide receiver, you would take a guy who is more along the lines of Mike Evans, Larry Fitzgerald, where they're not going to beat you deep as much as they beat you. You know, it's like it depends on your torture. You want water torture or you want the guillotine? You know, the water torture is the guy that just keeps pounding you down the field. That Henry Ruggs is going to stretch the field. How many? You already got Tyreek Hill. And then you got the other sprinter as well, McLovin.
Oh, Hardman,
yeah.
Yeah.
So they were saying Ruggs is not. I said CeeDee Lamb to me looks like the best wide receiver. But that's because he didn't have other weapons like, you know, Alabama had. You know, Alabama's got two first-round picks this year, and they may have one or two first-round picks at that position next year. CeeDee Lamb, to me, I thought what he did, it felt like he could make something out of nothing. And I like him a lot. This day in sports history, what do you have for me, Paulie?
Fritzy already got Hank Aaron's first ever home run, so I'm going to go this day in sports movie history. Mm. One of the great baseball movies of all time was released 1989, April 21st, 1989, so this week. Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner was released. Fast forward about 20, 30 so years later, Kevin Costner is on the Dan Patrick Show, and this happened. I watched Field of Dreams just again the other day. Everyone loves that movie. It's got a lot of legs. It's going to be around forever. But I was wondering, when you're getting pitched Field of Dreams, when they're pitching you, you're at your peak of stardom, do you ever think, this could be really silly?
What, do you think I peaked? What are you talking about?
No, but like you were...
Whoa, we can't do that.
Kevin Costner F on me.
I know.
You think I peaked?
How do we not have a shirt? You think I F and peaked?
Oh my God. Well, if Brady had said that, then we would have it. But it's just Kevin Costner.
Costner wouldn't sue us.
Yeah, Costner would let us make those T-shirts. Yes, Paul.
The best part was once he realized what he said, and he actually went back and said, "All right, I'm gonna answer your question here." And kind of give me that look like, watch it, partner.
Well, what was worse, Costner doing that to you or Joe Montana turning on McLovin when he referred to him as a system quarterback?
When you told Joe Montana that I had called him that before.
but
so
you
we're clear
did.
About your role in this.
But did you call him a system quarterback?
Well, yeah.
You didn't say, whatever you do, don't say this to Joe Montana.
Yeah, you did the same thing to Emmett Smith, too, who also did not like that. But, I mean, Emmett, come on, that line was crazy in Dallas.
When he said, I have four system Super Bowl rings?
Yeah.
That was great. That was
scoreboard. I'd never seen him mad until that moment. I'd never seen Kevin Costner mad until Paulie said that either.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he turned on you. Any other this day in sports history?
That's it.
That's it. We had Troy Aikman being drafted on this day, right, Todd?
We did.
All right.
31 years ago.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played his last regular season game for the Lakers on this date.
Oh.
That's it.
Right. Yeah. Seton, you got something for me?
Today's a wacky one.
It is.
I can't wait to see what happens with Tom in Ohio.
Oh, man, if that would happen. Yeah, I'm sort of drunk on the draft here. Like, I just woozy. Like, I got to step away from the bar here, the draft bar. Yeah, McLevin.
Are we going to get any interesting 3 p.m. texts today as a group? Should I keep my phone on high alert?
From you? From me?
Yeah, you all, last year, every last couple of years, you've thrown some things out in the afternoon.
Oh, that's right.
Around 4 p.m.
Yes, that's usually when everybody's done their jobs. You know, the people I talk to, when they've done their jobs and they sort of, you know, take their breather. And then sometimes I'll get somebody who will download me on something or keep an eye on this. Hey, you know what's being talked about? You know, those kind of things. Those are always fun. And then I always send them to you guys. All right. So Chris Sims tomorrow, Jesse Palmer, and Mark Sanchez on the program. Go around the room. What we learned. Todd, start with you.
You would grab Jalen Hurts if you had the opportunity to do so.
And McLovin?
There's a movement to have his name as Tom in Ohio shirts.
If he gets this trade right, then he will get one. Yes, Seton.
It was the birth of a legend today.
Tom in Ohio. Paulie?
Chase is a great name for a guy who goes after quarterbacks for a living.
Yeah, it's like a commissioner whose last name is Stern. What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom makes it easy to set up the right estate plan without leaving your home. Take care of your family today with the right estate plan at LegalZoom.com. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the festivities. Talk to you tomorrow.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.